Good morning. Take your Bibles out and open them up to John chapter 15. We'll be looking at verses 12 through 17 this morning. As we look into this passage about Jesus choosing and us choosing as well. So let us begin by reading the 12th verse of the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. O Lord, our God and Father, ruler of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ, our Savior and hope for all things, we appeal to you this morning as we look into your written word, that you would bless us with a double portion of your Holy Spirit, that we would sense and feel and know the richer, deeper presence of you, filling up our hearts and souls unto the point of overflowing, so that we may love our brothers and sisters even more than we do now. And we pray this, Father, asking that you would lead and guide our time together in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, once again, Jesus starts out with this idea that he's commanding us to love one another. He has said this multiple times in John chapter 15 as we've looked at it in the past couple of weeks. And here it is again. In fact, it starts to raise the question, how many times does he need to repeat, love one another? A lot. He recognizes that we are people with short memories. Therefore, he repeats it often, so that we will finally get it. I've heard that, you know, the same thing many of you have heard, that psychological studies show you need to repeat something 7 or 8 times before someone will remember it. Well, if that's true, Jesus is emphasizing that we really need to remember, love one another, because he's saying it so often in this chapter, so that we would get it and remember it. And then we get to this verse that so many of us have heard so often. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. So what does it mean to lay down your life? Jesus is obviously talking about himself in this particular instant and moment that he says these words, because he knows he's going to the cross and he's going there to lay down his life for his friends. There's even a hymn that talks about being a friend of Jesus. And that's why being a friend of Jesus is so important. If you're one of his friends, he died for you. He willingly laid his life down on the cross for his friends, so that we might be saved and have everlasting life and enjoy the fruits of the Spirit, as we've talked about in the previous week. And enjoy the fellowship of his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, fellowship with Christ, intimacy with God the Father, all of those things, so that we can have a joyful life filled with joy. I mentioned to a couple of folks earlier this morning that this week we had family from South Carolina joining us. Quite a big crew joined and came. In fact, it took 2 cars to get them from the airport, and it's taking 2 cars to get them back to the airport this morning. And one of the things was it was a joyful time for this whole week. Lots of laughter, lots of funny stories. It was just a great time together. But yet there were also those moments where a very serious conversation took place between myself and my sister and my brother, because our father is aging and getting frail. And that reality required a serious conversation between friends. And that's also true for Jesus in this moment as he's talking with his friends in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's talking with them as his friends, but there has to be a serious conversation with his friends right now, where he explains this importance of loving one another and obeying his commandments as evidence that they and we also are one of his friends and followers. He loves us with a great love. I know. I say that every week. But that's because we need to be reminded every week that he loves us with a great love. And some people will, in a fair question, ask, well, how has God loved me this week? Well, we can give the standard sort of boilerplate answers. You got up every day, you awoke, you lived, you had food on the table, all those things that make life possible. But was there a moment during the week where there was some joy, some true happiness, not necessarily connected to circumstances, but just because he loves you? If you spent some time in his word this week, I would dare to say that yes, that did happen for you. And if you spent time in actual fellowship with him in the presence of the Holy Spirit, then yes, absolutely you had some moments of joy. Joy is such a key part of our experience and walk with Christ. Both for us individually as we have joy walking with him, but also as an outward sign to the world that there's just something different. In the midst of the chaos of our culture, the Christian who can walk daily in joy, expressing that joy in ways that others can see it and understand it, or not understand it, but see it, is its very self the evidence of our walk with Christ to the world around us. It itself is a witness to the world around us. And some people would very reasonably ask me, well, look, I just don't have that much joy. What's wrong with me? And my response would be, well, not really anything's wrong with you. You just haven't grown into that place of joy yet. It's a spiritual growth and spiritual maturity that happens along the way of our, the joy is part of our growing into and as we grow in faith. And they would say, okay, I got that, but how do I grow in my faith? How do I get to that place where I can actually have joy? And the answer is not easy, but it is simple. Spend more time with Jesus. Just spend more time with Jesus. Reading his word, praying, all of those things are the basics, right? It's my member, right? Vince Lombardi would always start his seasons, first practice of the season with, man, this is a football. Starting with the simple basics. And that's, as I've said it so many times, the Bible, reading the Bible and prayer are the basics of being able to grow in our faith. They also involve coming here each week, with the fellowship we enjoy with each other, and at the same time, growing in our faith through the singing of the songs and worship in music, and then the worship in the Word. All of that leads to us having more joy. And all of that leads us to the place of obeying the commandment to love one another. And we ourselves learn how and grow into the place where we can lay down our life for our friends. So here's the thing, right? Everybody thinks about laying down your life in terms of dying, right? Because that's what Jesus is talking about. This verse is often used in reference to soldiers who willingly lay down their life in exchange for the lives of their fellow soldiers around them. But it means this laying down of our life means more than just giving up our physical existence into death. It also means things that we do in acts of service for others. Right? Like I can pray for all of you, or I can watch TV. I know this sounds so simplistic and almost ridiculous, but I can give up watching TV so that I can pray for each of you. And thereby, I'm laying down my life by laying down the things that I want for something that is better, which is praying for each of you. Even something that simple is laying down of your life. Anytime any one of us sets aside one of our self-desires, even when they're good and nothing wrong with them, but we decide to set them down so that we might do something for one of our brothers and sisters, pray for them, give them a phone call, encourage them, whatever it is, you lay down something you want to do and pick up doing something for one of your brothers and sisters in an act of love. That is laying down your life also. Now, my prayer is that I never have to face the moment in time where I have to choose laying down my physical life or not. I have no desire to take that test. I can stand here and say, I would lay down my life for anybody in this room. But that's easy to say. The hard part is when it actually comes to that moment, would I actually fulfill that choice in obedience to Christ? Or would I pull back and go, I'm not ready to do that for anybody? We never know until that moment actually comes. Just like the quarterback in football, no matter how much he practices, no matter about how good he is with throwing the deep pass in practice, you don't really know if he's going to make the deep pass until it's in the game and he actually has to pull back his arm and throw it. Likewise, we just don't know what we'll do to the actual moment of actually having to make the choice. But we don't have to make that choice by ourselves. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit at work within us that also makes it possible to make that choice of laying down our lives for someone else. And the Spirit helps us in all the ways that we are. Of course, if you're just going to take some time to pray for others, the Spirit prays and intercedes for us with groanings too deep for us to understand. That's the promise. Engaging in prayer with the Spirit will take us there. And then Jesus decides that he's no longer going to call the disciples and you and I servants, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But Jesus is calling us friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. All the words that are written in Scripture are from the Lord Jesus, and their purpose for being here is to tell us what Jesus has heard from the Father. in some form or fashion, every word in our Bible has been spoken by Jesus. That's why some people don't like red letter editions of the Bible. It's not like those red letters are the only time Jesus has spoken. All of it is red letters. All that he has heard from his Father, he has made known to us. That's a lot. It's a lot to swallow. It's a lot to take in. Which is why we take it in gradually in pieces. And then we get to verse 16. Which is both stunning and somewhat confusing. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. Jesus chose us. Before we ever choose him, he chose us. And called us out from the darkness in which we were living into the light through the hope of Christ and his saving work. He calls us out. He chose us. We still actively choose him as part of our response to him choosing us. But he chose us. Brothers and sisters, I want that to sink in. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ alone for the hope of salvation, he chose you. Let it sink in. You were chosen. He didn't have to choose any of us, but he did. With joy and delight, our Savior chose us, even though he didn't have to. He chose you. I want you to personalize this. He chose you. Out of his love for you, he chose you to be saved and to come to faith in him and to become one of his friends. What rich joy to know that Jesus chose us. Now, I won't get into things like what about the people who fall away in their faith after they've made a profession and all the other aspects that come with this idea of Jesus choosing us. Because it is for this moment and day and time, it is sufficient just to know he chose us and to rest in that joy of him choosing us. But he chose us for a purpose. In fact, it says, I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. We talked a long time, 2 weeks ago and last week, about bearing fruit. So I won't rehash those words, but we bear fruit because he chose us and has given himself to us and has put his Holy Spirit in us. And we are responding to the prompting and the workings of the Holy Spirit as we go and walk through each day and thereby bear much fruit. And he appointed us to this task. So that we should abide, and here comes the purpose clause, so that, for the purpose of, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. There's the conditions in which we can have our prayers answered. Everybody wants their prayer answered. How do I know that God will answer my prayer? You're abiding in Jesus. You're living in Him and obeying His commandments. And then you're asking from that place of where you are as abiding in Him. I know I talked about this last week. And again, I won't replay it for you. But when we abide in Him, we ask in accordance to what His desires and will are. We ask the things He wants to already do just by being abiding in Him. And then the ending of this passage, this paragraph rather. These things, every part that Jesus has spoken from verse 1 all the way through verse 16, these things I command you so that you will love one another. Notice how Jesus starts this paragraph with the commandment to love one another, and then He ends it with the command to love one another. Sounds like to me He's getting pretty serious about this loving one another again. Everything that He says is built into and a part of following the commandment to love one another. I've mentioned a couple weeks ago, what does it mean for us to love one another? What does it look like when we're loving one another? It looks like encouragement when someone needs to be encouraged. It looks like a friendly smile to uplift a person who is down. It looks like a hug after a difficult week. It looks like doing something to help a person who's recovering from knee surgery. It looks like, sometimes it looks like cleaning the toilets at church. That's how we love one another. To obey Jesus in this commandment to love one another is to do it without qualification. That everything He tells us to do as an act of loving someone else, we're going to do it no matter how menial or humiliating it seems and feels to us. Love one another. Gosh, it amazes me each week when we are looking at John chapter 15 and Jesus keeps emphasizing this love one another, just how simple it is to love one another. The commandment is simple. The hard part is crucifying my flesh to actually do it. And it is the same for you. The difficult part is to crucify your flesh so that you may do it. Some people have it easier than others, but nobody's exempt. We all get to participate in this game called loving one another. I'm amazed at how simple it is, yet how difficult it is at the same time. Just because it's simple doesn't mean it's easy, right? So often we get it looking into a task or activity that is simple, but it's not easy. Same thing with loving one another. Simple command, but it's not easy. And my prayer for you is that it grows easier each week. My prayer for you is that you are spending time in the Word, spending time with Christ, and loving one another gets easier as you go. I can promise you this from my own life's experience. When we grow in Christ, loving one another gets easier. The tougher part of doing loving one another is when I regress and become more self-centered instead of Christ-centered. Perhaps that rings a bell with some of you that you feel like you've regressed. I have good news for you. Jesus forgives. Jesus forgives even if you regress in your abiding in him and your love for one another's. And he will, by the power of the Holy Spirit, help bring you back into the growth that you used to have and the love for one another you used to have, and move forward in your walk with Christ and in your fellowship with all of us, just by abiding in him. Love one another. It's what the Apostle John kept repeating over and over and over at the end of his life. And so it is what I leave you with today. Love one another. Lord, thank you for these words that you have given us. Thank you for your hope. Thank you for salvation in Jesus' name. Thank you for deliverance from all the bonds and chains that bind us and keep us from following you and walking in your ways. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone who is suffering in a bondage today, that you would set them free, that you would break the chains that have entangled them, set them free, just as you have promised your people, you will set the captives free. Set them captive from any bondage that is entangling them and keeping them from growing in you, by the power of Jesus' name, because you commanded for our good that we can walk with you as free men and free women. In Jesus' holy name, amen.